So yesterday we were looking in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, and in the Amplified Bible, and again, a little background. So as you read Hebrews chapter 12, we see that we're supposed to be following the example of Jesus Christ. He is the example for us in all things. And the author of Hebrews then goes on early in Hebrews chapter 12 to talk about the correction and the discipline, how the Lord corrects and disciplines everyone that he loves, and that we submit to that correction. So it's talking about that correction and how our earthly fathers disciplined us for a short time. And, well, as it says in verse number 10, for our earthly fathers disciplined us for only a short period of time and chastised us as seemed proper and good to them. But he, God the Father, disciplines us for our certain good, that we may become sharers in his own holiness. So this is talking about following the example of Jesus Christ and that we do receive discipline. And the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that discipline does come and correction comes from the Word of God itself. So we get correction. We follow the example of Jesus Christ and we see that laid out for us in the Word. And we get correction and discipline from God. And that correction comes from the Word of God also. So we follow the example of Christ through the Word, and we get the correction through the Word. And while that correction is sometimes hard for us, and this is what we see then in verse number 12. So we have all that correction. Verse number 11 says, for the time being, no discipline brings joy, but seems grievous and painful. But afterwards, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness. So we're being told that, which we don't have to be told, we all understand this. We've all been disciplined. As children, we've been disciplined. And as adults, we've been disciplined in our lives. There's probably not one of us that hasn't faced some form of discipline in the workplace where we're being taught. You know, we're not disciplined because people are just looking to punish us. You get disciplined because you were rebellious, you disobeyed. And these are the things that help us learn and grow and become better employees. Well, in the same way, God disciplines us, not just for the sake of discipline, but he wants us to become more of what he's prepared us to be. He wants us to become more of the image of Jesus Christ. He wants us to become the men and women of God that he has truthfully, literally created us to be. This is what his desire is for us, and this is the benefit of discipline. But discipline is not fun. When you were disciplined as a child, I don't think anybody enjoyed that. Think back to when you were disciplined. I think back, and you know, my sister was the one who seemed to receive the most discipline as we were growing up. And I remember a lot of nights with a lot of tears and a lot of spanking going on, and then a lot more tears. Discipline's never fun. I remember I was the only one in my family that ever got grounded. Okay, it's not fun to be corrected, to be chastised, and then have to suffer consequences because of it. These things are not fun. And this is what the author of Hebrews is saying. Discipline, for the time, discipline doesn't bring joy, but seems painful. It seems grievous. When you're experiencing it, that's what you feel. And yet, it has a purpose, and it's for our good. So then in verse number 12, and this is what we looked at yesterday, it says, so then, brace up and reinvigorate, and set right your slackened, weakened, drooping hands, and strengthen your feeble, palsied, tottering knees. So when we're being disciplined, we're being chastised, we're being corrected, it's not fun. There's no joy in it. And when we know that we've been wrong, think about this. When you've ever been, if you've been chastised or disciplined at the workplace, now your immediate reaction may be defiance and it may be defensiveness. But after a period of time, after a period of hours, when that initial anger subsides and you do realize that, you know what, I wouldn't be here, I wouldn't be in this position if I hadn't done this and this. This is ramifications for my actions and my choices. And then the more you focus on those things, then the more we get to a place where we do become head down. You feel bad. There's remorse. There's that shame, and there's the remorse that comes with it. And this is what we see that the author of Hebrews is talking about in verse number 12. When we are slackened, we're weakened, our drooping hands, we have tottery knees. When you realize that you are wrong and have done wrong, there is that shame. There is that defeat that comes in that moment. And the author of Hebrews is saying, discipline, it's not fun, it's not joyous, it seems painful at the time and grievous at the time, and truly it is. And because of that grievousness, because of that painfulness of correction as we go through it, you do tend to have weak knees. You do tend to be drooping hands. And the author of Hebrews is saying, look, brace up, reinvigorate, and set right your slackened, your weakened. What he's saying is, in the midst of that time, there's remorse that comes. And remorse makes you feel like, I've failed. I'm a failure. I've failed. How can I ever be used? How can I ever be usable? These are the things that we feel as we go through that period of correction. These are emotions that are natural emotions. How many times have you said to yourself, I have failed Christ? How many times have you felt like, how can I ever be worthy? How can he ever use me? How many times have you known of your own failings? How many times has there been those own secret sins that you have that you know? And the conviction is there by the Holy Spirit. And you know that you're failing Christ. And when those things come up, you feel defeated. You know, I remember an evangelist friend of mine told me a story. This is years and years ago. He told me the story, but I've never forgotten because the image was so clear to me. He said that he was driving on a major highway, and he pulled off the road for some reason. And as he pulled off the road, he found this pornographic magazine that had been cast aside. It looked like it was torn and ripped and was cast aside. And he said in a moment he knew what had happened. The Holy Spirit showed him in a moment he knew what happened. That there was somebody who had been locked in the bondage of pornography. And it had been a cycle that they had gone through where pornography brought them down lower and lower to the depths and caused them to think things and do things that they were ashamed of. And when they got to that place of such total shame, they just wanted to get rid of it, and they threw it away, and I'll never do this again. And they threw it out of their car, and they drove away. But he said he knows that that same person is going to be in that cycle again, where he'll get caught back up in it, and he'll be brought down low, and he'll be brought to a place of shame, taken to places that he never thought he would go before, thinking and doing things he never thought he would do before, and he'll get disgusted with himself, and will be right back in that same cycle where he casts it aside until he gets Jesus Christ, who's the only one who can bring him freedom from that bondage. He's going to be in the continual cycle. And everyone has in their lives gone through sin and sinfulness and times that you know you failed Christ. And when you are corrected because you have failed Christ, in the same way that man, whoever that man was who cast that pornography aside, in his shame, in the torment of his shame, in his own self-loathing and disgust, threw that away. How many times have we, and you know, maybe it's not something like that, but whatever it is, whatever the sin is, how many times have we been to the place where we ourselves have, we never thought we would go there, and we're disgusted with ourselves, where there's self-loathing. How can I ever be used again? How can Jesus ever use me again? This is exactly what we see taking place in verse number 12. It's because when we get to that place of shame, and hopefully brokenness, but we get to that place of shame because correction has come and it's pointed out to us, and we can no longer deny it. We can't hide it from our own minds. We can't deceive ourselves any further. Correction comes, and we know that it's right, and we are filled with that self-loathing and that shame. But the author of Hebrews is saying, brace up, reinvigorate. Set your slackened and weakened and drooping hands, strengthen your feeble, palsied, tottering knees. Cut through and make firm and plain, smooth, straight paths for your feet. Yes, make them safe and upright, happy paths that go in the right direction. The purpose of correction is to get us off of the path that has led us to that place of bondage, has led us to that place where we feel that self-loathing, that shame, and even that disgust with who we are. It takes us from that pathway and puts us on the pathway of righteousness, where we understand and know that there is liberty, freedom in Jesus Christ. And in that freedom, we are strengthened, we're reinvigorated, we're braced up, where we have been brought low in self-loathing and shame. Now we are brought up in Jesus Christ in the freedom and the liberty, in the forgiveness of the sins. And we are actually made stronger, and it puts us on that right pathway. That pathway that is plain and smooth and straight. Yes, that pathway. Yes, make them safe and upright and happy paths that go in the right direction. cut through all the things of life and find that right pathway that is going straight forward in Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say in verse number 13, after the right direction, so that the lame and halting limbs may not be put out of joint, but rather may be cured. When you feel like you are out of sorts, you are beat down, you are weak, you're palsied, you're tottering, because correction brings us to that place of self-realization. And we realize how far we have fallen short. Look, I know I'm talking to someone, probably many people today, and maybe today you're feeling, you know the things that you have done, the thoughts you've had, the actions that you have had. You know, maybe it's pornography, maybe it's an addiction, maybe it's cheating, maybe it's embezzling, maybe it's cheating on your spouse. Maybe it's stealing. There's no limit to the things that the flesh, left to its own devices, will not do. You know what it is that's brought you to that place of shame and when correction comes. And probably that's why you're not spending time in the Word of God, because you know that you're falling short of Jesus Christ. But I would say to you, and this is what the author of Hebrews is trying to show us, you know, don't run away from God. Don't run away from the Word of God. And don't run away from Christ himself when you're in that place of, I know that I'm caught in this bondage. I don't want to be here. And you don't like who you are. There's shame that fills you. Don't run from Christ and don't run from the Word. The author of Hebrews is saying, look, strengthen yourself. Brace yourself up. Be reinvigorated. You can be. That shame, that self-despising, that loathing, all of those things that make you weak. The author of Hebrews is saying, in Jesus Christ, you can be reinvigorated. You can be made strong once again. You look towards Jesus Christ. Look towards him and find strength in the Word. I promise you, if you're wanting to find truth and life, if you're wanting to see that in the Word of God, when you open up the Bible, forget the times in the past you've opened it up and you felt nothing and you received nothing. Forget that. That's the past, because you probably weren't open for it. If you're open for it and you want the life that is here in Jesus Christ, open the Bible today, and I promise you, Holy Spirit's going to bring you words of encouragement, words of hope, and words of deliverance. Because the author of Hebrews is telling us that that pathway is still there for you. And Jesus, by his correction, wants to bring us from that pathway that is filled with shame, is filled with defeat, is filled with weakness, where you feel like, I'm so worthless. He will bring you from that pathway onto the pathway of righteousness, onto that path of where your happiness is. Brace up, reinvigorate, and set right your slackened and weakened and drooping hands. Strengthen your feeble and palsied and tottering knees. Cut through. You turn to Jesus Christ and the Word of God, and the Word of God cuts through all of that deception, all that self-deception, all those lies, and all of those bondages. It cuts through it and makes firm and plain and smooth and straight paths for your feet. Yes, make them safe and upright and happy paths. Aren't you looking for a happy path today? It's right here waiting for us. Turn to Jesus. Turn to the Word of God. Happy paths that go in the right direction, so that the lame and halting limbs may not be out of joint, but rather may be cured. Your cure for all that ails you, and even the bondage that brings you to that place of being weakened, tottering, you feel like you're gonna fail once and for all, there's a pathway set aside for your cure, and it's in Jesus Christ.